Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is episode 120 of the podcast, the conclusion of our NFL divisional previews as we go to Vegas today to visit with a buddy of mine, Mitch Moss from VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, is going to join us to preview the NFC South. And then we got to get to work on some of our college previews, which will be coming later in the week. And of course, we'll release our season win total picks, all of our official stuff, in the very near future. So I hope you guys had a great weekend. And of course, thank you for tuning in. Before we get to Mitch, we always like to give you a lean, something we're thinking about with the particular topic in question, today being the NFC South, the lean being the under on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, currently sitting at 6.5. Now, the Bucs have won six or fewer games in four of the last five seasons. And I got to be honest with you, I just think they're a poorly run franchise. I know that's not necessarily going to come as an extraordinarily hot take or extraordinarily insightful, but they're poorly run. And you see it year in and year out. They have talent. That talent leaves. It produces at a higher level elsewhere. Mark Barron is an example of that. I love the front four. I love the addition of Vinnie Curry. But Jameis Winston is suspended to start the season. The schedule is more difficult than people realize. And somehow, some way, these guys consistently find a way to lose football games. That is what bad teams and bad franchises do. They find ways to lose. So there are a few directions we could go here with the NFC South. And again, our official plays will be coming soon enough. But for today, our lean is under 6.5 wins on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Before we go to Vegas and my man Mitch Moss, I want to tell you guys about BetQL. It's an app you should absolutely download if you're looking to outsmart Las Vegas this season. Now, there is no one statistic or no one trick that's going to give you the ultimate edge. You need a very robust and diversified toolbox in order to become a successful sports bettor. And that means staying organized. It means staying on top of things. It means keeping an eye on line movements and what's happening with the market. BetQL is the place to go. So if you want to learn about BetQL, go to betql.co, not com.co. You can download it if you have an Android on Google Play. You can go to the App Store if you've got an iPhone. It's completely free, so it's worth checking out. Powerful analytics for sports betting. Get access to real-time line movement, value bets of the day, and meaningful team records. Download BetQL today.
Gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas! To the Las Vegas desert we go, a blast from the past. You can catch him 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, as the host of Follow the Money on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. That is channel 204 on Sirius XM. Mitch Moss with us here on the Sharp 600. Buddy, it's your debut on the podcast. Thanks so much for your time today. How's it going?
Hey, man, it's good to talk to you, Joe. Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate your time. And as always, we jump in with a bit of a sports betting ancillary question before we jump into the NFC South, which is our topic today. David Purdom from ESPN, who does a wonderful job covering the industry, has an article out today about the William Hill Sportsbook, which is now all over the country, refusing to accept wagers from winning sports bettors. Essentially, if you go in there and you demonstrate that you might have an edge or that you might be able to beat them, they're just going to shut you down. How bad could this be for the industry if you have major sports books saying, you know what, we're going to keep all the winners out, we only want loser money?
I think it's terrible for the industry. I mean, especially when we get that news in May. I mean, we've all been waiting for that, right? For PASPA to go away and for the Supreme Court to actually say, here we go, let's open the floodgates. So it's more than just Nevada where you can bet. And then right on the heels of that, you have one. Well, they have more than 100 books here in the state. They're now becoming all over the place on the East Coast. And, you know, I've heard of this for a while. It goes back to, the football season a couple of years ago where I saw, on Twitter, on social media, and also like on VSiN, where people that have won there in the past and probably have won big, the sharp people that bet, they're no longer allowed there. And I've also heard other stories about how, for example, one person had a long shot, a really long shot, to win a golf event within the last couple of years. And for winning that one event, he had $100 on it or whatever it was, and it paid him off, handsomely for that event. He was like kicked off for a long time, and he didn't, clearly could not understand what the hell was going on, had to talk to people involved so we could actually bet on their app and at their properties again. But no, Joe, I mean, this is you don't want this anywhere. This is a terrible look. I mean, the word of mouth for this alone is going to be awful for people that have never bet and want to get involved.
You see, here's what I've tried to maintain over the last few months, going back almost a year, and you and I have known each other a while. No matter where gambling insiders, gambling analysts, sports betting people like yourself, myself to an extent, guys that are, we're on all these different networks, right? And we can be viewed as competitors, but we all know each other going back. We've all run in the same circles. I've maintained that we all kind of have a responsibility that now that this is coming into the national spotlight, we need to prove all these myths wrong. We need to show that this isn't a seedy industry, that it's above board, that it's legitimate, and that this is something that can be interesting. It doesn't need to live in the shadows. And yet when you have books in Jersey charging ridiculous margins on some of these baseball games, and you have other books shutting people down because they win, it's just going to reinforce those original notions that this is a seedy industry.
Of course. And for, you know, there was a story, I think Dennis Dodd had it in CBS Sports that came out this weekend, where there was a rep for 10 different conferences across college sports with their ADs and everything. This guy repped all of them, and I'm sure you saw the quote too, where he basically said, I'll make a bet with anybody in this room. It's 100% we have a sports betting scandal, you know, within how many, so many years. And we like to yell and scream and bitch about the people that say that because they have no clue and they don't get it that legal sports and a regulated market will actually help detect that before it comes to fruition. But then when we're sitting here trying to fight the good fight and say, no, it is on the up and up, you have something like this kind of dig in and fight back. And you're like, oh, guys, come on. You can't do this. If they're going to beat you, you got to pay them out and you got to, you know, keep taking their bets. Just bad. It's bad overall. And it's a bad reputation, I'll tell you that. I mean, you don't want to have that stank all over you.
And eventually, if you're these books charging these high margins just because you can take advantage of the marketplace, for example, supply and demand, there's a high demand, but there are only a few books in Jersey, what, 6 versus 192 in Nevada, you can get away with this. But eventually, the competitors are going to come into the market. Do you really want that to be your reputation? You may have been first to market, but now that better prices are coming in, why should anyone trust you and go back?
No, I think competition is going to be right. I mean, it's going to make people be so much more creative than they have been in the past. I mean, the stuff, and again, you lived here for a long time. You get how Las Vegas works. But the stuff that you cannot bet on and find in this city compared to what you can get offshore, like at what point are we going to have people in Las Vegas say, well, gaming's going to allow this, so we need to do the work and we need to, you know, get that on our books. For example, and we had some listeners of Easton point this out the other day. They were like, it was Gary Woodland, I think, right, who was leading the TGA after the first round. He was 80-1 offshore. I can't find one book where you can find who's going to lead the event, the golf event that weekend after day one. Had no idea. It's not available in Las Vegas. We were told recently they're not going to put up the NFL MVP award this year. Are you kidding me?
What?
Yeah. So how is that? Like, you have to be thinking outside the box to compete with that because you're going to have, it's going to be coming everywhere. I saw that Caesars in Mississippi and here in Nevada, they came out with some SEC-specific props. That's a great idea. Thinking regionally there in Mississippi, that's going to be a big, you know, very popular. They don't have it in the Northeast. But to be thinking like that outside the box has to happen all over the place, in my opinion.
All right, good little warm-up there. Today's main entree, however, is the NFC South, the final of our 8 divisional previews. Let's begin with the Atlanta Falcons. Open with a win total of 9, have since been bet up to 9.5. Matt Ryan and company have racked up 21 wins over the last 2 years, but saw a significant dip in offensive production last year after offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan took the head coaching job in San Francisco. So what do you make of this Falcons team this season, 2 years removed from a Super Bowl appearance?
Okay, so first of all, I agree with the line move going from the win total move of 9 to 9.5. I do like the Falcons. And look, I hate it when teams go or you hear like media outlets say, well, based on last year's winning percentage, this is the strength of schedule. And Warren Sharp, who is great on this stuff.
Fantastic.
Right? He's got his breakdown, I think, with his football preview is the best. So when you look at that's by the way, Joe, just for the record here, those are the numbers that I will go off of. I will use Warren's strength of schedule. He has the Falcons number 16 overall going into the season, and he points out of the top teams in the NFC expecting to maybe have the best shot at home field, he gives Atlanta the easiest schedule behind Green Bay. And I think that they are absolutely live against Philadelphia in week one, not to play the entire schedule game, but going into their bye in week eight, I think that a 5-2 start is absolutely realistic. And then they get at Washington, at Cleveland, and Dallas after the bye week. Three very winnable games. And down the stretch, I don't think it's impossible either. And if, and this is a big if, because I don't think Matt Ryan is the 2016 version that we all saw and won the MVP. That's the outlier. Last year's Matt Ryan was closer to the career guy that we know. But I think he can, even though last year was a down year, I think that second year of Sark, which scares me a little bit, they'll figure it out again. They address the offense again in the draft. I mean, he's always had weapons to work with. Their running game is awesome. You have Julio, and now on the opposite side, you're going to have a rookie in Kelvin Ridley. I like Cooper, the tight end. And so here's the thing about Atlanta. Their offense was so good in 2016, every game almost went over. The defense was terrible. Last year, their offense couldn't score, but the defense was really, really good, and they played a lot of unders. I think as long as they can get a little bit closer, right, if the offense can come back to where they were in 2016, the defense is close to last year, this team is a Super Bowl contender, and I do like them to go over 9.5. I think the move here is right to go from 9 to 9.5, and I think they win 10, 11 games.
Tampa Bay sitting at 6.5 wins at the current moment. They've posted 6 or fewer wins in 4 of the last 5 seasons. Year 4 of the Jameis Winston experiment. Is this the year that these guys finally bust out, or is this just a dysfunctional franchise that is never going to figure it out?
No, I don't think they're going to figure it out with this regime. I don't like the coach. I think he could be the first guy fired. I'm not a big fan of Jameis Winston. I need to see it before I can believe it. And, you know, actually, I'll say this. Their schedule out of the gates, oh, my God. I mean, on the road against New Orleans, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, at Chicago, that's 1-3, you know, maybe 0-4, written all over it, in my opinion. I would say this might be the actual good news. I think they would be 0-3 if Jameis was starting in those first three games, and his confidence might be shot in week four when they play Chicago. But I think it's actually good that he's going to be coming in fresh in the week four when they play against the Bears if they're 0-3 at that point. Again, three very losable games. But, again, Warren Sharp has this team rated the second most difficult schedule in the entire NFL. So think about that, how they open up first four into the bye. After the bye, they have to go right on the road again and play at Atlanta. They get Cleveland, then back-to-back at Cincinnati and at Carolina. And it doesn't get much easier. I mean, they have San Francisco, Carolina, the Saints at Baltimore, at Dallas, in Atlanta. I mean, it is the absolute gauntlet. I don't trust Winston. I don't like the coaching staff, and I would go under 6.5 again this year with Tampa Bay.
Carolina Panthers sitting at a win total of 9. They're 2 years removed from the Super Bowl, I guess 3 years, depending on how we count the seasons. 11-5 last year. Now, what am I missing here? I talked to Ed Sammons from the Westgate. You know him very well. He came on the pod, and this is a team he really likes to go over. I'm hearing no buzz on the Panthers. Do you think they're being overlooked?
I do, actually, yes. And 8.5 I'm seeing with the win total, too. Listen, this I'm probably going to be a little chalky with these teams, but that's because I think the NFC South is the best division in football. And, you know, we saw last year with all the teams making the playoffs. What am I missing, Joe? Right? Because if Keekly is healthy, right, he's so good, doesn't he automatically vault that defense to top tier as one of the best in football? I think that guy is so good at middle linebacker. He makes that big of a difference. Or am I wrong with him?
No, the with and without Keekly, those stats are out there because he's missed time. It is amazing the drop-off in production that defense has when he's not in the lineup. You can make the case for him as the defensive MVP almost every single year.
Yep, I totally agree with that. I like what they did in the draft to help out Cam Newton with weapons. But the crazy thing with Cam, though, he's better when he doesn't have – right, that the year without Cam, Kelvin Benjamin was when we were 15-1. It doesn't make any sense. I'm not, you know, who's buying the Christian McCaffrey is going to get 25 touches a game, but you saw some of his explosiveness in the preseason game this past week. I think the guy can be really, really good, especially catching the ball. They got more in the draft. I think Funchess is a sneaky guy this year in fantasy, and as long as they can, you know, run the football like they have in years past, and the defense stays healthy. Again, 8.5. I would lean to the over with Carolina to get, and I would say this about all three teams, and this doesn't happen very often in the NFL. You know, we have so much change or turnover from one playoff year to the next. But I think these three teams at the top of the South are absolutely in contention and can all make it again this year.
All right, here's where it gets interesting. The Saints are sitting at 9.5. Now, last year, they go 11-5. But in the three seasons prior to that, they won just 7 games each of those years. I don't know what to make of them. I don't know if they're going to be overvalued. I know they can run the football. You got to figure here at the end of Drew Brees' career, he's going to have every last bit of energy and focus pouring into this team. Where do you see New Orleans? Are they the team from last year, or are they the team from a couple years ago?
Well, here you go again in the draft. And you can say what you want about trading up and giving up a first-round pick, but that's what they did with Green Bay at number 14, and they took Marcus Davenport. If he can play like they expect him to play, and I would say if the defense can stay healthy, because remember, late in the season last year, that defense was banged up at all spots, at every single tier of the defense, defensive line, linebacker, and then the secondary. And I thought the secondary actually played quite well with how young they were. I think the defense can be close to what they were last year. And, I mean, come on, with the offense, you know they're going to score a lot of points. But, again, I will go back to the schedule. And per Warren Sharp's numbers, he has them I want to say this team's a Super Bowl contender. But the schedule ranks number 27 per his numbers. And they play – they don't really miss anybody in the NFC. They have to go at Minnesota. They get the Rams. They have Philly. They get Atlanta twice, Carolina twice. They got to play Pittsburgh. They get Dallas. I mean, my God almighty, that is very, very difficult. But it's a great question that you posed. If I had to bet it, I would lean this team to go over the 9.5 as well. I don't love it, but I just think the talent overall in the team is so good that, like last year, right, you have to say that they were a Super Bowl contender because it was a total fluke how they got beat to Minnesota. And then if that play doesn't happen, they go to Philadelphia and anything can happen, and maybe they're in the Super Bowl. I think this team can win 10 games, be a wild card team, and also once that happens, anything can happen. And you know what? They're good enough to go and win anywhere.
All right, two more to close it out. We'll start with a two-parter. Number one, how many teams in this division realistically could make the playoffs, in your opinion? How many are legitimate playoff teams, and how many are legitimate Super Bowl contenders?
Well, again, we had the three last year. God, and to repeat that, it just doesn't happen in the NFL, does it? Well, realistically, they can all get back. I would say two of them, there's a good chance to get back with Atlanta, and I would lean New Orleans. And then I would say, again, once the playoffs start, I think anything could happen. And if Sark could figure out the red zone issues in the offseason, and I never liked the hire in the first place. I kind of don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt there, but they're so talented on offense and they have so many weapons. It's tough for me to imagine that team struggling again once they get inside the 20. So I would say Atlanta, and with Brees, and if the defense can stay healthy again, I would have to say the Saints are absolutely a Super Bowl contender.
Final question for you. Outside of this division, the NFC South, is there any future out there that you've been keeping a close eye on?
Yeah, the biggest bet that I made so far was Minnesota when it first came out at 9.5. I love the roster. I think the team is arguably the best there is in all of football. The addition of Kirk Cousins, I think, was, to me, in my opinion, it was an obvious upgrade over Case Keenum. The problem is, here's the chance that you take, right? I bet that over 9.5 a while back, and now we're seeing six guys were banged up week two against Jacksonville in the preseason. Mike Zimmer was saying could be in some serious trouble with a handful of those players being out for the entire year. And the offensive line, Joe, again, we had it 2 years ago with this team, right, where they could not protect Bradford. They couldn't run the football. They addressed it in 2017, got a lot better. Their schedule is tough, but if they somehow can avoid being completely injury plagued, I love the team. What's not to like? I like Zimmer. I love the defense. I think the receivers are really underrated, and I love the combination of Cook and Murray at running back.
Check him out on Twitter at Mitch Moss Radio, and be sure to catch the show 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. It's called Follow the Money. It's on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, which is channel 204 SiriusXM. Mitch Moss with us here on the Sharp 600. Buddy, you killed it. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Great talking to you.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
What do you mean?
Did Caesar live here?
No.
I didn't think so.
Mitch Moss bringing the fire on episode 120, the NFC South. A big shout out to him. Check out he and Paulie Howard co-hosting Follow the Money on VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern, SiriusXM 204. That's a wrap for the NFL divisional previews. It's time to start talking college football. We'll be back with those previews later in the week. Thanks to all of you for tuning in and your continued support. It is greatly appreciated. Be well, everybody, and best of luck.